Your boyfriend is hot, sexy, and he treats you like a queen. Only one problem. When he goes down on you, it's sort of like he's eating corn on the cob at a county fair. Ugh, not good. But don't worry, we can help him. Have him listen to Pure Orgasmic Love on the Rogan Tell Podcast Network. He'll get relationship advice, love advice, and some much-needed sex education. You can thank us later.
Warning, this show contains harsh language and is intended for a mature audience. Now, leave the bullshit at the door and let's get to the show.
Shut up and sit down.
Yeah, shut up and sit down. You're listening to Candid with me, Lona Mori. Today's Sunday, July 26th, 2015. Today, back by popular demand, of course, Mr. J. Paul.
Hello, Lona. How are you?
Wait a minute. I didn't give you a direct order. I did not tell you to say hello.
Help yourself.
That'll work also.
There you go.
How are you?
The official NYC greeting.
You know it. How's the weather in Florida?
It is hot and sticky. More rain, but we need it and everything's good. No problem.
Do you really need it? It's a swamp down there anyway.
Yeah, but, you know, everybody likes a moist one.
Oh, you're a sick person. You're a sick person. This is a smut-free podcast, let me remind you.
When did that start? Like this week's episode coming up?
That's wishful thinking.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get into the nonsense we're going to get in today, I have a little podcast business, as I like to call it. Thank you to my Twitter and my Facebook followers. Thanks, everyone. Go screw yourself, you trolls. Although I will say, in all honesty, I haven't had too many trolls this week. I'm surprised. Everyone loved the last episode with Shane on, and I did get a few interesting comments about Shane, or actually comments about me. Everyone likes Shane's voice, so Shane, when you listen to this, you're big with the ladies. The comments that I was getting were more along the lines of, why was I agreeing with him? Jay, did you listen to that last episode of Candid?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the thing. I have an opinion, just like everyone else, although I happen to be a particularly opinionated person, so maybe I have more opinions than most people. I'll concede that point. Okay. But life is about learning, and just because I have opinions doesn't mean that I need to take my opinions and ram them down the throat of anyone else. I'd like to try to meet somewhere in the middle, try to find some common ground, and above all else, try to learn something. So there were a lot of people making comments along the lines of, well, you know, especially with the President Obama stuff, the Jade Helm 15 stuff, I was laughing that off. I was laughing it off because for me, I don't live in those states. I am not on red alert. I don't think it's any big deal. And I was agreeing with him because he was making good points. And he actually made a few points that were interesting to me. I learned a little something, and that's great. But that's what it's about. It's about meeting in the middle and learning. Obviously, he has his opinions and I have mine. So why can't we agree on some things and then respectfully disagree on other things? You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Everyone, just take it easy. One more thing I want to throw in there. Please, 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 pretty please, leave a couple of reviews on iTunes. That helps us out quite a bit. That tells Apple and everyone else this is a good podcast, or any good podcast that you listen to. Take a few minutes and review. It takes less than 5 minutes. I've done it for the good podcast that I listen to, and that's always helpful to us. We also have an Amazon link that's been up and running for quite some time now, and like a dummy that I am, I forgot to throw it out there for you guys. So when you're shopping on Amazon and you're doing your weekly shopping, your monthly shopping, or whatever you do, keep us in mind. Go to rogantel.com/Amazon, do all your shopping, spend your money with them, and it won't cost you a penny to help us out. All right, so back to the show. Mr. J. Paul.
Yes.
I want your input on this. It's a little bit of podcast business, but I want your input on this. On Twitter, I've been getting a few comments about, I'll just read one question in particular. Why is it that I have a focus on Black Americans? My answer is that In my head, just to simplify things, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So when the Asians are all over television talking about being oppressed, or when the when the Cambodian population, oh no, they're Asians. Nope, Indians are Asians also. Let's see. When the population from Papua New Guinea, who lives here in the U.S., when they start crying about being oppressed and making a big to-do, well, then I'll put the focus on them. But for now, in my head, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. What do you think about that, Jay?
Well, of course, you're out of squeaky wheel gets the grease, but the black community is pushing themselves into every corner of media that they can. When something's legit, it's legit, but that goes for anybody. But when you have stupid shit that really doesn't warrant bringing it up, everybody has to throw it onto me. So you're going to inject yourself hardcore into every corner facet of our lives. And then when we just want to talk about the fact that you are here, you're up in our face, that's somehow a problem. That means you're the one who's focusing. Isn't the black community who's everything is about us, everything about us? You're drawing all the attention to yourself. Okay, so now you're getting some. Stop bitching.
All right. Tell us how you really feel. Sheesh.
Well, because I don't care who it is. If you say that every time something happens, it's racist, when it's clearly not. And everything is everybody else's fault when it's not. You can't get ahead, or you can't get up in the world because of everybody else. And it's your own fault, whoever you are. So when a black community keeps saying we this, we that, fill in the blank, and all of a sudden somebody like you gets on the podcast and starts opening up a mouth about issues all over, inclusive of what exists in the black community, somehow you're the one who's focusing on it? Okay, you Twitter nutbags, you know, get on there and throw some stuff at her and let us know how she's the one who is the genesis for all focus on the black community.
All right. Well, that's V. Lona Mori on Twitter. I'm sure I'll hear from you later. All right.
Oh, what do you want me to say? Would somebody want to just blow smoke up their ass to make them feel good for the day? That's not what you're listening to this podcast for.
Absolutely not, but a little smoke every now and then is helpful. All right, I got a few headlines that I want to get into, whether you like it or not, Mr. J. Paul.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
That's right, people like you. All right, everyone is not talking about the shooting in Louisiana. And I'm sorry, excuse the hyperbole / sarcasm. These shootings are becoming commonplace now. So if anyone who follows the news would realize there wasn't too much hype made of this, keep in mind there was just a shooting in Chattanooga recently. And like I said, this is becoming commonplace. So it's sort of like, oh, here we go again. This is, my gosh, I want to say my usual line, this is horrible, this is terrible. It is, but like a broken record, I keep telling everyone, here is mental illness. We still have not figured out how this man got his hands on a gun, although in Louisiana, I think they have the most lax gun laws in the country, I believe, from the research that I've been doing, citing different articles, so on and so forth, I've come to that conclusion that their gun laws are pretty open, which is fine. It's fine if you're well in the head, so to speak, but it's not fine if you're a crazy person. Jay Paul, I'm sure you heard about this. Do you have any thoughts that you'd like to share?
Yeah, it's the Hauser guy, right?
Yeah, Mr. John Hauser.
All right, let me throw something hypothetical. I agree with you with the mental care, you know, mental health care, the necessity for it, and so on. But let me throw...
Hold on, let me cut you off for a second. There were two people killed, 9 people wounded in a movie theater in Louisiana there.
Right. That's the guy we're talking about.
Okay, you can start again.
All right. So I understand and I agree with you with the need for mental health care. Now, let's throw a hypothetical at you. Let's say I'm that guy. that this Al's our asshole. I'm that guy, and we're going back in time. Let's say it's today, and you look at me right today without sarcasm. You look at me listening. Now, is there anything that's going to give you a hint by looking in, at me and talking to me today that says, this coming Friday, this guy's going to go shoot up fill-in-the-blank store? Do I look like I'm going to do that?
Did you say without sarcasm?
Well, maybe I can tune into Prime and I'll get like a better response out of that one. Because there's a podcast that will make sense. Damn it. All right. So back to your podcast. All right. Now, you're listening to me, we're talking. Do I look like I'm gonna go out and shoot up someplace this coming Friday?
No, you look and sound like a reasonable person.
All right. Now, it's our hypothetical. So tomorrow I go out and I buy 50 guns. And this coming mm-hmm. Friday, I pick some random place, and I go kill 50 people and injure 50 people more. All right? And I'm whacked out of my head, and I blew my own brains out, and all that crazy shit we see on TV. All right, now, you're going to get on the podcast and understandably say, well, the mental health care and so on, so on, so on. Okay. So how would you have been able to predict that prior to me being the whack job on a Friday while you're talking to me today? So the guy needs – people out there clearly need some medical health assistance, and that's fine. But I'm not even going to make an excuse for not one second for what this jackass did. But now he did exhibit a lot of crazy shit. You know, the messed up, if you read some of the articles, the room that he was renting, if you will, or was this friend let him stay in the room. And then the previous house that he left in Alabama was just completely trashed. It had like makeshift swastikas on the wall. It just got completely obviously lost his mind. But.
Yeah, hold on.
You don't know that. I don't know that. So how?
Let me cut you off there for just a second. He most recently he did have a friend who allowed him to stay in his house.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, for about 6 months, and finally the craziness came to a head, and his friend kicked him out and told him to get the hell out of his house, which he says saved his life. Man, this is the photos. If you go to go to the show notes and you'll see the article and you can see photos of this room. This reminds me of that movie, A Beautiful Mind. If anyone, I'm sure lots of people saw it. It was a great movie, but there was one part where he was working in the garage, and the garage was papered up with newspaper clippings and so on and so forth. And there was all sorts of writing on there. And it just looked like something that a crazy person would do. And this guy's, John House's room in his friend's house reminded me of this.
Okay.
It went a little further, though. There was like paint splattered on the walls.
Yeah, that was in the previous place he left months before in Alabama.
Oh, my gosh.
So let's take that right there. His friend lets him stay in the room, and
after seeing the previous place in Alabama.
Well, I'm sure he didn't see the place. Now this is all comes out in the news. All right, so his friend, the most recent friend, lets him stay in the room, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, his friend is sick of the bullshit, and they're basically, man, you need to leave, right?
Right.
Okay, so he goes into the room and finds whatever. Let's take the condition of the room and multiply it times 10. Okay, the guy hasn't done anything, so let's say this friend wishes to take a proactive approach with your imagined but not yet to happen health care for all the individuals in our country. Okay, how do we stop this massacre? How do we stop these killings? Because if the friend calls up the cop and says, I think the guy just sat up, the cops can't arrest him. The cops can't say, well, yeah, the guy seems a little loony out there, but we can't predict he's going to go out and do anything, and we can't stop. We can't prevent what hasn't happened yet. So I agree with you that there needs to be assistance or available mental health care, but we keep speaking as if we could have prevented it if we had that health care, because who's going to force that guy? Is the friend going to force him at gunpoint and say, I'm going to makeshift Baker Act you when I can't do that? I mean, how do we get these people? Who makes the determination as to, well, up to this point, you're kind of fucked up and we're not going to say anything, but now you cross that line. Somebody needs to define that line, and now you're considered a viable threat, and we need to get somebody to intercede. So how do we make that distinction? If your healthcare stuff was in place, how do we make that distinction?
Okay, so there's no way to predict the future. So obviously, we're not going to be able to prevent each and every one of these instances. Could you agree on that, Mr. J. Paul?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want you to take it, like, literally. And I realized that if we had the
All right, stop talking. Let me answer the question.
Well, I wanted to hear something interesting, so I thought I would chime in for myself. Go ahead.
Very funny. There's no way to prevent these things, but I'm thinking more along the lines of these things would come into play piece by piece, meaning first and foremost, we'd have to completely overhaul the mental health aspect of our healthcare system. I mean, that's not to say the whole system doesn't need an overhaul, but mental health needs some serious focus. Then we definitely have to reform some of our gun laws to prevent these things from getting into the hands of people who were completely nuts. Then we'd have to start cracking down on people who are selling guns willy-nilly to anyone who has the money to buy one. So I don't think there's just one complete solution to prevent this. It's going to be a multi-step. Many, many, many variables involved in doing something to prevent these things. But right now, this is case in point of we cannot continue to go through life day to day as the status quo here. This is a big problem. Wouldn't you could agree to that, right?
Well, certainly. Certainly. Yeah.
So all in all, Jay, the sad part that's going on is that these mass shootings, you know, whoever's committing them, wherever they are, this is becoming commonplace. There wasn't that big of a fuss made about this, in my opinion, as compared to some of the other instances. What do you think?
Yeah, it is. And couple that with the fact that everything is reported that happens instantaneously, we're also much more aware of things happening right now than we would have maybe 10, 15 years ago. So, yeah, I think it's on the rise, but I don't think it's quite on the rise as much as it appears to be, only because we're simply able to hear about it so much quicker and more thoroughly compared to, you know, like a decade or so ago.
Well, I also think they're more frequent, no?
I think that they are, but not to the degree that it appears to be if you're just watching today's news. Because think about the ability to report that and learn about it as little as 10, 15 years ago. Okay, so there's it could have been happening more or less. It's just that you're hearing about it more. There's a lot of things that are happening. There are different shootings that are happening all over the place. There was one that happened down here. People get shot up in a nightclub, and kids are shot. This one's daughter died, this kind of stuff, you know. So if all of a sudden 10 media outlets start looking for our story and a half a dozen other ones that happen around the country, now all of a sudden it's going to seem like an epidemic. This stuff's happening anyway. It doesn't make it right.
I don't know. I think they're becoming, just generally speaking, in comparison to years ago, I just think these mass shootings are becoming more and more frequent. And we're just sort of taking them seemingly with a grain of salt. But, you know, in the end, I'm glad his friend, John Hauser's friend, made the decision to kick him out of the house, according to that friend who wanted to remain anonymous.
Good luck.
Yeah, that's why we don't have a name or any info like that about the friend. But yeah, he's saying that that decision to kick John Hauser out of his home likely saved his life. Although, admittedly, he's been broken up about it ever since.
He
feels, you know, just absolutely sick to his stomach. But talk about a close call. Talk about a close call. This guy is nuts, bonkers, and then he goes and shoots up a movie theater. That's just unbelievable. But, you know, I'm sorry to say, I'm glad he's dead. He can't inflict harm on anyone else this way.
I'm not sorry to say it. I'm happy he is. What I would really prefer is, for those that you might be listening or shoot some Twitters out and everything, if any of you are actually considering taking your own life or going to go ahead and do so. Leave the rest of us alone. Don't hurt any children. Don't hurt any elders. Don't hurt anybody else. If you're that whack and you need to thin the gene pool a little bit, have fun. Just don't hurt anybody else. Go do it by yourself.
Yeah, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with that. I only say it's sad because someone died. A few people died here. Three people died. You know, he and two others. And I don't wish that on anyone. But, you know, the guy wasn't well. And if that's the case, if you truly aren't well and you're truly having thoughts of harming someone, yeah, keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. I know that's not always possible, but this is why I always preach. This is where your family comes in. Although in this case, his wife, he was divorced. His wife committed him to a psychiatric center a while ago. And that's at the point in which his life began to crumble. So this is very complicated, but very sad. And it's certainly not the end. It's going to be one of many, because this sort of mass shooting by deranged individuals is on the rise. We're going to leave that there. And something else interesting that I wanted to get to. Speaking along the same lines of the gun issues, Rick Perry in the news. well, he and his glasses are always in the news. Jay Paul, you wear glasses. What do you think about Rick Perry's glasses? I kind of like them.
I got to find out who makes those.
I kind of like them.
They come from the Magoo collection. I mean, aww. I like that myself.
No, that's not good. Those are not Mr. Magoo's. Those are pretty good.
No, those are great. You know, that reminds me, those frames remind me of the guy that's like 65 years old and dyes his hair jet black, absolutely jet black. It just screams that something's out of place here. You know, hey, Rick, adjust the glasses, baby. Just a little bit lighter shade. But, you know, I guess then again, if you want to be singled out as a nut job, it's a lot easier for us to find you that way.
Oh, you're hardcore on the glasses. Hey, anyway, let's get to the news article here.
Let's.
So Rick Perry's saying that shootings in gun-free zones, Rick Perry's saying that gun-free zones are a problem. And basically, we should all carry our guns to the movies or other places. Man, he did an interview on Sunday on CNN State of the Union, talking about the Lafayette, Louisiana shooting, and I'm quoting him, "I think that it makes a lot of sense to send a message across this country." That's what Rick Perry said when he was asked by Jake Tapper, the former governor, believed in a way to prevent such violence, we should be allowed to take our guns to the movie theaters. I agree to the extent that I have, when permitted to do so. I disagree in the sense that not everyone should be owning a gun and carrying it to the movie theater. i.e., if you're trained, if you're an off-duty police officer, if you're a trained veteran, and when I say trained, not everyone who owns a gun goes to the range often and hones their skills, so on and so forth. That is just my opinion here, a very dangerous situation, especially when you're talking about dark movie theater. When you're carrying a firearm in the heat of the moment, things are not the way they are in a controlled situation. So you'd better be damn well skilled and confident about your abilities if you're going to pull that gun out in a movie theater. You may end up causing more harm than good. But Jay, how would you feel if everyone in a movie theater near you was armed?
I would feel that the stock prices of a Netflix would go up. Okay. I mean, you know, there's a bunch of crazy fuckers out there as it is, you know. And I like that the resolution to our problem is just put some more guns in there, some more guns. Okay. In fairness to the normal, carrying a gun owner, if you will, a responsible gun owner, everybody's talking about laws. I've spoken about them myself. Let's enforce the laws we actually have first. If that doesn't get us to our goal, then we'll go ahead and increase or alter the existing laws to get us towards our goal. These people that are, you know, more guns, more guns, more guns. I mean, look, there was a cop. Remember that the cop with the gun in the movie theater and with the guy and all that nonsense? It was about a year ago.
Yeah, I think he was a retired officer. Yeah. I don't know if he was a police officer, corrections, and so on and so forth.
Police officer, yeah.
I mean, yeah, in that situation, he went off in a fit of rage.
Okay, right. Well, okay, so are we not going to, again, we've all seen how some people can be in movie theaters, okay? People get like absolutely nuts, okay? Like soccer fields and the rest of the shit, right? Are we not going to increase our chances that somebody's going to talk in a movie theater when the person behind them doesn't want them to or something? Maybe somebody's popping their bubble gum and they're on a cell phone and then we have another problem. So if you're talking about licensed people or people, you know, like cops and whatnot, yeah, I think the potential is a non-issue, because I'm sure there's a lot more people that are immediately in your everyday life that are carrying and you have no idea of that. And that's fine. That's a good thing. It could potentially
be a
good thing.
Rick Perry's gripe is with the concept of gun-free zones. Rick Perry is saying that, you know, citizens of this country who are appropriately trained and appropriately backgrounded and know how to use their firearms should be allowed to carry them everywhere. So in that aspect, as I stated before, I agree. To your point, we do have the laws in place, but enforcement of those laws are lacking. So,
well, we have some in place, and then we have some that are clearly not in place, i.e. gun shows, where any jackass can go up there with a wad of cash and walk out with a truckload of guns. You know, so you have to have some new stuff in place. Let's try, because a lot of the NRA people are saying, wait a minute, we have enough gun laws on the books. Okay, so let's take your position of there's enough on the books. Let's give them their due, the folks of the NRA, and that there are a lot of laws in place. Let's enforce what we have first. If it doesn't work, and it may not work, but if it doesn't work, then let's adjust or add on accordingly. So now the folks in the NRA can't piss and moan about it. They can say, hey, you know what? They did things our way. Now I think you might actually get those people to join you and saying, hey, look, we did everything we could your way. This doesn't mean you're wrong. It just means that we need to go in a slightly different direction. You probably get, because most of these NRA people, let's face it, most gun owners are responsible people and therefore have a, you know, well-balanced mindset. So I think if you show them that you're willing to do things their way first and carry it out to a slot, you already have it on the books, then these people might turn on and back you for realistic, logical.
Well, I would argue as far as the NRA is concerned, their way, our way, is the law-abiding way. I certainly don't believe that each and every individual, regardless of, you know, their background, should carry a firearm. No, and I don't know any reasonable person who believes that. I agree with Rick Perry in this case. These are his words. You know, everyone who is backgrounded and vetted and appropriately trained, meaning there are plenty of people I know who have firearms, whether they're in the dresser drawer or the glove box of their car, and don't do anything with them. Don't clean them. Don't take them to the range. Don't do anything. Well, that's not the person who I want to pull out their firearm in a time of need, because your skills aren't up to par. You know, you can have a gun, sit on it, and not do anything with it. Now you're a liability. You're not
okay,
part of the problem.
So that same person who doesn't do the things like you just suggested, mm-hmm. that person is now allowed to carry the gun in the movie theater. He or she does so, then what liability do you have on your hands? So,
well, that's what I stated before when I said you can easily become more of the problem and not a part of the solution,
right,
if you're in that movie theater and you're not properly trained. To my other point, which was we need to change some of our laws in the sense that I'm all for people who carry firearms to have mandatory training. Right now, as far as I know, there is no mandatory training other than you being responsible or having to be responsible for that firearm. There's nothing in the books that I know of that states that you have to go to training, you know, X amount of times per month, per year, so on and so forth. Devil's advocate, the same thing with cars. We allow you to take one time a road test. You know, driving lessons as much as you need them. You take one road test, now you have a license, and your license isn't revoked or suspended until you kill someone practically. That's a problem as well.
Agreed.
So that's where new laws come in. So hey, people, that's great. I'm all for Second Amendment, all for it. But let's get out there and let's make sure we're all properly trained and handling them as we should be. What
like
do you think
annual, like annual certification, like, okay, cops have to do annual certification, just like you were mentioning with the driving of a car. So, okay, so we're going to let you carry these things in churches and schools and whatever.
I would argue annual certification isn't enough.
It's
semi-monthly or something like that.
Well, we have to be practical.
Sure,
okay?
I understand. But remember, we're pulling those guns out during a time of need, and you can easily shoot an innocent bystander, which happens quite often in police departments.
Okay, but I mean, to require the average gun owner to go through monthly or bi-monthly certification, that's just not going to happen. I would say good luck with annual certification, and I would support it at the very least. Because like you're saying, people let these things sit in there and they don't use them and whatnot, so they're going to become more of a liability than an asset. So, here's the laws that are in place. Some can be effective because they're not being utilized. Other laws that are not in place, like ones you and I were just talking about, something like that should be put in place right off the bat. So you want to carry, it's a responsibility. You have to, with that right to carry your firearm, it becomes a responsibility. So in the same way that, oh, I have a right to drive a car, blah, 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 blah. Okay, if you're going to drive a car, now you have the responsibility for conducting yourself accordingly. You know,
not well, that's what I stated earlier, but well, we're not doing too well with that. But, there's still plenty of car crashes.
Right, and because there's nothing, it's not important enough in our culture yet before that's an issue.
You know, right, I mean, but my point is we need to make it important. We need to damn well make it important.
I think the only way you're going to do that is you're going to have to get people that are on both sides of the gun issue to agree on those points. And then, you know, because almost everybody that sees people for or against guns, there's always this like really fat dividing line. It doesn't seem to be a lot of common ground in coming together.
Yeah, because here's what happens. You have mass shootings such as this, and the first thing that people on the left tend to do is turn around. Yeah, there's a knee-jerk reaction, and they turn around and look at the NRA, responsible gun owners, and say, oh, well, you see, that's the problem with guns. Meanwhile, not one of these people, with an exception to George Zimmerman had a concealed carry permit, so he was legally carrying his firearm, although he was friggin' mental. Outside of that, all of these other shootings, these people obtained these firearms illegally to some extent. So when you start telling law-abiding citizens or start preaching to them about their guns when we have a right to own them, that's a problem. So the preaching and the knee-jerk reaction is at people who were sitting in their homes minding their business, not thinking of killing someone. That's where we have the divide. And of course, when someone looks at me who owns a firearm legally, not bothering anyone, not going to go out and kill anyone, and you're preaching to me about guns, well, yeah, I'm going to react and say, hey, fuck you. It's not the guns that are a problem. It's crazy people. It's people not taking responsibility for their illness, not getting the appropriate help. Maybe their family members not seeking the appropriate help. That's a problem. We still don't know where this person got this gun. And I would argue again, considering where he was in Louisiana, I don't know whether he got the gun in Louisiana, but he very well may have obtained it there, and it would have been relatively easy to do so.
Well, like you were just saying, if somebody tells you something to do with your gun, it's, ah, fuck you, it's my gun. Okay, so you're gonna pull on one side, and the left-wing person is going to pull on the other side. If both parties could find some common ground area, okay, I think people start paying attention more. Because at some point, I mean, I'm sick of it. I mean, if the people are on the far right, blah, 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 about gun, and a whack job on the left, because you're so far apart, I'm tired of hearing the same old shit day in and day out, okay? You on the left, cut the shit, okay? Some of the stuff that you're requesting is a little bit just plain bullshit, okay? And some of the right-wing nutbags that thinks that, what are you going to do, get a gun to your freaking toddler or something like that? You're going to get whack jobs over. Cut the bullshit on the extremes. Come to a meeting, even if it's on a few points. Now, the average layman out there who listens to the issue at hand can say, well, hold on a second. These people used to disagree. Now they come together on these 2, 3, 4 points, whatever it may be. It looks like some progress can be made. So I'm going to go ahead and get behind that. Now I'm interested in hearing what they have to say. But until that happens, I think I, and probably speak for a lot of people, I'm just tired of hearing the same old shit.
Yeah, well, you and I both. I mean, this certainly, we're not making any headway. Nothing's changing, and it's just status quo. So since that's the case, the only thing that I can turn around and say is, well, screw it. Law-abiding citizens, go outside, get yourself trained properly, go get a firearm, protect your family, because this shit isn't stopping anytime soon. This administration has no interest in doing anything except take away guns. They're not doing anything to prevent mentally ill from getting their hands on guns. And Obama's in Kenya anyway with his brethren, so he couldn't care less what's going on right now. all right. Loretta Lynch. Oh, boy. Loretta Lynch is saying that Sandra Bland's death highlights Black Americans' concerns about police. Yep. I don't think I need to go into Sandra Bland too much. I'm sure it's been all over the news. For anyone who's had their head under a rock, I will say she was a 28-year-old African-American She was stopped for failing to signal while changing lanes, but the traffic stop turned into a confrontational mess when the officer ordered her to put her cigarette out. I mean, first and foremost, here we go again. There's video up. If you go to our show notes, you can see a couple of video clips. There was one article. I read many, many articles when I do this research. One caught my eye in particular. And this is in the Washington Post. The Post's Wesley Lowery sat down with Jeffrey Ian Ross. Jeffrey Ian Ross, for anyone who doesn't know who he is a criminologist with the University of Baltimore. I follow him because he makes very good points. He's generally neutral in his aspect of detailing when these things go wrong, though there are some things I disagree with when he evaluates this video. But he does a very good job of deconstructing the critical moments that led to Sandra Bland's arrest. Jay, did you see this video?
Painfully. Yeah. Okay, it's a long. If you watch the long video, it's like 52 minutes or something like that, in of which about maybe 10, let's say about 10 minutes or so is relevant because there's the interaction, there's a little bit of proceeding here. But, you know, can we address the big black elephant in the room just for once, okay? Was the cop inappropriate, blah, 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 blah. Let's go to the genesis of the problem. Let's go to the start of the problem, okay?
All right, let's start from the beginning then.
All right, so you don't use your turn signal. No big thing in and of itself, right? You get stopped. So like most people, including most black people, okay, anybody else, you pull over, here's my license, blah, 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 I did this. Go on about your business, okay? P.S., quick side note, he was only going to give her a warning, but, you know, that never really came out yet. So immediately she has the attitude, okay? I didn't create the term the NWA attitude. She has it, giving the cop out. You're just getting pulled over for a thing. It doesn't matter why you're getting pulled over. You just
all right. Hold on. Let me stop you there and then go ahead and explain to the listeners exactly what attitude she had. Yeah. Basically, the cop stops her over. In my opinion, the officer was polite, respectful. He certainly didn't approach her vehicle in an aggressive manner. He approached her vehicle first on the passenger side and told her flat out. She's being pulled over because she failed to signal when she was changing lanes. Okay, no problem. And then he took her, he did ask her for a license and registration, went back to the cruiser for about 4 or 5 minutes or so. When he came back, he was now on the passenger side, still polite and respectful. I guess she was smoking a cigarette, and with ease, with ease of anyone else who would make this request, he said, hey, you mind putting that cigarette out? And it was that light and airy. You know, you mind putting that cigarette out? And immediately, no, this is my car, and, you know, I can smoke if I want to, or something along those lines. So here we have, well, I was asking you, miss, I was asking you politely to please put the cigarette out, but since I'm here in the position of authority and I don't want cigarette smoke blowing in my face, and or I don't want you using that cigarette as a weapon against me to possibly burn me, now I'm going to order you to put that cigarette out. And that's what he did. He then ordered her to put the cigarette out. And
he said to her, pardon me for buttoning, he said, okay, she says she doesn't have to. He says, now you can just get out of the car.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That was it. I was smoking my car. I'm like, okay, so you did, basically it wasn't said, okay, since you're not going to put that out, now you can just get out of the car. Okay. And that would have been, that's all she had to do is get out of the car. From that point forward, it went downhill and downhill and downhill. Had nothing to do with anything else except the NWA attitude. Okay. Stop the fucking attitude and you wouldn't have that problem. And if you watch the video, 5-10 minutes worth, whatever, you watch the whole thing, the entire interaction is her being, I can do that, that fucking attitude of, I can do what I want, you can't tell me what I have to do. And then it's, let's see if I get this right now, pussy motherfucker, pussy lousy, this, that, and the other, nonstop berating the police officer, okay? But apparently because they wear a badge, they're supposed to take that shit. And when you're from a certain community, oh, apparently you know, at least you feel, I don't have to do this, and I don't have to do that, and I don't have to. Yeah, cut the shit. Yeah, you do. Okay. You and the rest of us. You pulled over, stop the fucking attitude, and just give the man his here's your license and thing. Take your what would have been a warning if you were such an asshole. There's your warning, and then off you go. Big fucking deal.
Jay Paul, I just want to let you know you're becoming very famous on this podcast for your rants.
Oh, sure.
I agree with you.
I love you guys too. Let her know.
I agree with you, but on a serious note, that's a problem. It seems like the general public, and maybe more so than the general public, but I'll just throw that out there. Certain people have this concept in their head of what police officers can and cannot do. And that's where we end up with these confrontations, because I just think we need to have, I don't know if it's going to be a public service announcement or this should be done at community centers, however which way we can do it, we need to have a way to communicate to the general public. We've given the police the authority to make these stops, to question people, to order people, so on and so forth. That's the authority we give police officers, so the police officers can go ahead and protect us. And this person is speaking as if she's so damned confident. Oh, no, you can't do this. And well, I'm in my own car. Well, guess what, miss? Whether you're in your own car or you're not,
You're on a public road.
You're on a public road. Now, I can say if you're in your house, that's a different story. You know, but when you're in your car, if the police officer gives you an order, just go ahead and comply. Especially when this guy, just off the bat, seemed to be polite. I mean, that's the part that strikes me the most. He certainly didn't saunter over there like Yosemite Sam, ready for a confrontation. And I'm sure he didn't wake up that morning and say, you know what I'm going to do when I get to work today? I'm going to get myself into a confrontation with a black woman, which is possibly going to end my career, maybe even throw me in jail. That's what I'm going to do. I'm certain that this officer didn't have any thoughts like that going through his head. But what he got was a hell of a lot of attitude, and that shit needs to stop. It absolutely needs to stop right then and there. There was nothing wrong with putting the cigarette out. It's called being polite. Yes, we know that it's your car, and yes, in your car, you can do what you want to do, but just for the purposes of you making this officer feel comfortable, considering that he doesn't know you, and you don't know him, and he's carrying a gun, and he has the authority to escalate the situation. Considering all of those things, if it were me pulled over, I would do what the man said just as a show of good intentions. You know what, sir? I it's my car and I want to smoke my cigarette, but I'm going to put it out because you told me to, just to show you that I'm not a problem.
Ain't my job to make that man feel good. He needs to go get himself a wife or go to adopt a pet. Get himself a dog.
All right, that's interesting. Pretty good impersonation, but okay.
Well, I deal with that on a regular basis. Okay, I tell you, if anybody wants to be blessed, and I'm not saying this too smart ass. I mean, sincerely, go get yourself and be nice. Go get yourself some friends from my diverse community, if you will. Get yourself Asian, black friends, male, female, cops, you know, cashiers or whatever. Okay. And hang around like the rest of your friends will talk. And it's not a bad thing because you're going to learn a lot of positive stuff, a lot of food and stuff like that. But you're going to learn some practical stuff too about what people within certain communities are giving the community a bad name, creating a lot of problems and whatnot. I thank God for every black friend that I've got because I've learned a shitload, you know. Also love from Asian friends too, a lot of good food stuff too. So, bless yourselves. Get some friends that are not like you and learn about your community. You might get your eyes open a little bit as to why half the shit's going on and then why you got these attitudes.
All right, let me stop you right there. People that are listening here, support people who support free speech. It's that simple. Rogantel supports free speech, and I'm very thankful to Rogantel for allowing me to have the show, allowing Jay over here to make his bad and impersonations, allowing me to say whatever I need to say to wake up my fellow Americans and open their eyes to what the hell goes on out there. we need your support. We absolutely appreciate it. Our network is growing. We have a bunch of new shows on. We've been doing a hell of a lot better than when we first started, and that's just the honest truth. So if you want to continue to help us out, continue to hear good podcasts, great content, go to rogantel.com/support. Help us out in any way you can. A buck a month helps, but I'm sure you guys are good for a hell of a lot more than that. I appreciate it. We appreciate it. Your country will appreciate it. Thanks for that. So, Jay, do you think if that situation, that traffic stop, was started off a little bit differently by that woman, do you think things would have gone a little bit better, maybe?
100% better, and she'd probably be telling her friends or family members, oh, my God, I thought he was going to give me a ticket. All he gave me was a warning. You know, okay, he didn't turn out to be so bad. And that would have been the end of her story.
All right. Let me get back to this story here. I just want to throw in there, based upon everything that came out after this again, as what goes on usually these days, this person seemed to show signs of mental illness. There was a voicemail that was left for her family. She wasn't eating. She was crying in her cell. I wasn't there. You weren't there. None of us were there to figure out exactly what was going on in this person's head, but it seemed like it's a fair statement to say that she was unhinged. Getting back to Loretta Lynch, let me quote her. It highlights the concern of many in the Black community that a routine stop for many members of the Black community is not handled with the same professionalism and courtesy that other people may get from the police. And that's what she said on ABC News. I have to disagree with that. I have to disagree with that because we've reached a point in society, people, the thugs of the communities, the thugs of the communities that are having these problems have made a pretty good plea to the media. Mainstream media makes a lot of money on race. They make a lot of money on quote unquote oppressed people and promoting Al Sharpton and Company, as I like to call it. So at this point, I don't think there's any police officer who wants to wake up in the morning and get into a confrontation with a Black person. And the reason why I don't say Black and Hispanic is because there have been many situations in the news where Hispanic people were flat out killed by the cops and no one said anything. There was no Al Sharpton. There was no one else. We all know that Al Sharpton has an agenda, and the agenda is getting money for his organization, and that's it. When there were situations that involved people of other colors and the police, you never hear from Al Sharpton. So I don't believe for one minute that he wants police policy reform. He just wants money. So when we're talking about African Americans and routine traffic stops, well, African Americans, if you're listening to this, and lots of you are, thankfully, tone down the attitude. No one wants to be stopped. People are busy. People are going to work. You're going home. You're going to pick up your kids. You're going somewhere and you don't want to be pulled over. I don't want to be pulled over. Jay doesn't want to be pulled over. But the first thing you do is be polite, no matter what. Be polite. Start there. Don't start with attitude. So getting back to the article for the third time, they're calling her death a suicide. She supposedly was, I don't know how the hell she managed to pull this one off, but she supposedly hung herself in her cell using a plastic trash bag that was in the cell, which sounds weird because...
Strong bag.
Yeah, it sounds very strange. I wouldn't think that a plastic trash bag I just wouldn't think that anything would be in a cell, let alone a plastic trash bag. I was under the assumption that usually they take everything off of the person being detained and there's nothing in the cell except for maybe a bed or something. But
she was just being pulled over for failure to comply. Essentially, they probably would not have seen her as an imminent threat to herself or anybody else. It could have been like, hey, well, you're going to be here overnight, one of those.
Yeah, I guess, but I still find it strange that there was a trash bag in the cell. But either way, her death was ruled a suicide, and now the FBI is involved.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. The Department of Justice has yet to open any independent investigation. But Governor Rick Perry, this was in uh, Gover- Governor Rick Perry's wheelhouse, of course. He's calling for transparency, which, of course, we all want transparency. But it's not clear that the trooper involved didn't follow protocol. It seems to me that he did everything he could or should have done as a trooper. Jay, if you were in that car and that trooper approached you the way he did her, I know it's a strange question, but I know it's a strange question. I'm trying to play devil's advocate for one second here.
Yeah, be like me.
No, I mean, how is there any way that you would have reacted that way?
No, anyway, I mean, if anything, it's you know, I don't know what kind of cop is going to stop me. Okay, just like any profession, you're going to have a lot of professionals out there, and you're going to be sprinkled with a few assholes.
And the cop doesn't know who you are.
Doesn't know me. All right. So, because I don't care if it's you or the guy next door or a cop or anybody else, I'm frankly not interested in your shit. Okay, so if I can conduct myself like a human being, I'm not kissing your ass, I'm not kowtowing you, but if I could just treat you like a human being and we can have a peaceful interaction and you can be on your way and I don't have to hear any shit from you, okay, I have a vested interest to do so, because I don't know what kind of cop I'm going to get. The first thing I'm going to do, I don't care who it is, I'm going to give you respect right off the bat. Now, where you take it from there, well, we'll see what happens. So, officer.
Ooh, that's a good point. Hold on. Let me jump in there. Here's a thought. Considering what I said before, that we give our officers the authority to go ahead and make these stops and enforce the law, so on and so forth, so that they can protect us. How's this for a thought? When she failed to comply with his polite request, isn't it within his right to be authoritative, tamper up his voice, and then go ahead and command her to get out of the vehicle for not putting that cigarette out? Isn't that well within his right?
That's what we pay them to do.
Don't we want police officers to be authoritative?
Yes, we do, because when we have normal people in the community, we go about our business, so does he or she or get stopped. It's a non-issue. But we don't. Those of us normal people, we don't want you assholes in the world creating problems. So I'm going to pay this guy or gal with a badge on to keep you assholes in check. Okay, let me go over a very quick sidebar. I'm still in an article with the Washington Post, right? Let me scroll down a little bit. I want to read just one little thing in here, and give you a go fuck yourself to the Washington Post, because when Bland questioned why she had to put out her cigarette, let me go down like one little tiny paragraph, if you will. The officer opened driver's door and attempted to remove Bland from the vehicle, and I'm quoting, "I'm going to yank you out of here," he said, as the two struggled in the car. "I'm going to drag you out of here," she says. "Don't touch me. I'm not under arrest. I will light you up," while pointing a taser. Now, for somebody who didn't take the time to look at the video or actually see the whole thing take place, somebody's going to look at this thing from the Washington Post and say, cop says I'm going to yank it out of here. An innocent person says, "Don't touch me. I'm not under arrest." And the cop says, "I'm going to light you up." What kind of light does that put the cop in? Just the police department in general. How about Washington Post? How about putting on there the original interaction where Ms. Bland was being a complete asshole to the cop? Yes, let's throw the cop's responses back in there. But to put that interaction into context, Washington Post, okay, put her shit, her mouth that she was opening up, put that shit in there first so we can put into context what the officer or how the officer responded.
Well, okay. No one's going to do that because it doesn't fit the agenda.
Because it
doesn't
fit
the agenda.
Because they're afraid to address the big black elephant in the room.
Right. The agenda is big bad cop, big white racist cop, blue-eyed devil, here he comes again, innocent black woman on her way to the grocery store. How dare he pull her over? That's right. The agenda, and that's the way they're trying to portray the situation. By the way, I will throw out there, you know, it's sad. It's a terrible tragedy that she's dead.
Absolutely.
It's a shame for her family and her friends and people who knew her. And I'm sorry that she hung herself, you know, again, points to whatever mental illness that she had going on. I can't imagine that. I would certainly be embarrassed if I was arrested or detained or anything like that. But I can't imagine the embarrassment from that interaction, or the anger from that interaction, drove her to hang herself. The only thing I can deduce is that she did have some sort of lingering issue in her life. That in and of itself is a shame that she's dead. But to say that this is a police issue, that somehow the police are responsible for her death, people act as if they don't have two eyes and two ears and they can't watch this video and see what the hell is going on.
Exactly.
And that's the part that we need to start talking about here. We have cultural differences. This isn't a racial problem. We have some serious, serious, serious cultural divides that need to be addressed. All right, people, it's time for your pep talk. It's official. Mass shootings have become the norm. Forget what you're hearing in the mass media. Think of it this way. If you were out in a public place and someone opened fire, you'd sure as hell hope and pray that a cop or a law-abiding citizen who knew how to use their firearm was there to protect you. Think twice before you start rallying to have guns pulled away out of the hands of law-abiding citizens. That same person who you don't want to have the firearm next to you may be there to save your life. That was your pep talk. All right, Jay, speaking of culture, let's talk about a little culture.
Let's
talk about the cultural divide. Since you brought it up, thank you for bringing it up. Let's talk about the difference between, let's say, you or I or someone else being pulled over by a cop and the what I'm going to call aggressive black person. And I'm just throwing it out there because it is what it is. Remember, people, the name of the show is Candid, not Let's Pussyfoot Around What's Happening. Okay, so I'm going to start out and say this. There are situations, many, many, many situations that I've encountered in everyday life. And the train, the bus, the subway, the sidewalk, turn the TV on, things like that. There is a culture of aggression. There is a certain aspect of that aggression when dealing with black women. And there is a certain part where that comes out more often than not when they're in the position of authority. Quite often, if you step back and watch any interaction with a black woman who's in a position of authority, obviously not all, but a considerable amount, are fairly aggressive. Jay, I know you have some thoughts about this, so go ahead, get it off your chest.
Well, it's an unfortunate part. Every culture has their quirks. And as I mentioned earlier about, having a diverse group of friends and what you can learn from all angles, okay?
Well, no, let's not call it quirks. Let's call it reputation, because that's what it is.
Well, it is a reputation. Some things are just quirks.
It's identified and it's then made into a reputation. Okay. Except that nowadays we as a society, we as human beings, we are being taught, or people are trying to teach us, to go against our instincts. Now, whatever your behavior, whatever you do, wherever you are, after a while people notice and you build a reputation. There are people we all know who are assholes. Well, they've made a point to build that reputation, whether they know it or not. There are plenty of nice people.
As far as made a point to build that reputation. Right. As far as reputation goes, for example, unrelated to the black issue or the black woman issue, okay? Just to show our black community out there that this is not a race issue, if you will. On a lighter note, okay, police officers, okay, it's fairly well presumed or known of reputation, okay, that motor officers compared to patrol car officers have more of an attitude and can be more assholes than the rest of the police force when you're comparing,
When you say motor officers, you mean highway patrol?
On motorcycles.
Okay. That's the motorcycle cops generally are some sort of highway patrol.
Not in our community. It's all city because it gives them the flexibility of getting to places where cars can't as rapidly. So every community is a little bit different. But motor officers, cops on motorcycles are referred to motor officers, okay? And it's, again, amongst themselves. Oh, well, of course, look at his attitude. Of course, he's a motor officer. Now, some of it is in jest, okay? But you have to be a certain type of person to want to be on a motor and not in a car because of the vulnerability issues and whatnot. So
you have to be a certain type of person to want to be a cop.
Of course, but
we don't go hiring Sheldon the accountant to be a cop.
Right.
We want Bruce, the big 6-foot-tall asshole, because we need aggressive people. There are people, the general public is becoming more and more aggressive. So if we switched positions and we went out there and got members of the chess team and put them in uniforms and put them out there as cops, we'd be in a mess of trouble.
Right, but I'm talking about reputation as far as if somebody comes up and says, well, motor cops compared to other cops are usually more aggressive and they're more assholes, if you will, okay? Because, again, there's a lot of things that come into play there, okay? But does that mean that my retired police officer friend who was a motor cop is not the sweetest person you ever met? Of course not, okay? But their reputation precedes them. So after a while, when enough people, enough motor officers conduct themselves in a particular manner, after a while, you start to get a reputation. Is every motor cop like that? Hardly, okay? But there have been enough of them that do that, okay? So if you now take it to the black community, for example, most of my friends, you know, being a guy, you know, guys hang out with guys. So most of my friends that are black happen to be male, a few female, but most are male, if you will. And they constantly rail about the black woman attitude and the black woman attitude. Well, just like if somebody points something out to you, okay, like what you like, for example, there's many cars on the road. You buy a new car of a certain model, now all of a sudden you see them on the road because it's brought to your attention. Somebody brings certain behaviors to your attention and you tend to pick up on those more. And there is a distinct, it's a peculiarity in the, not all black women, but there is this, the exact attitude that Ms. Bland presented is indicative of what my friends tell me is that typical black woman attitude. It doesn't mean all black women, but I know what he's talking about because it's been pointed out to me ad nauseum. And it's a problem, and it creates a more of a negative attitude. It creates negative stereotypes for the black community more so than what the men are doing.
Well, I have to, yeah, I agree. I think there are a lot of issues that go on, and I've talked about this before in other episodes. There are a lot of issues that go on in that community. There are traumatic issues. There's a situation where, you know, there's hard times. Often there's hard times. There are too many kids, not enough money, no husband, no dad to help out, things like that. So all of these things that come about, you know, I as an intelligent individual understand how they come about. And also there's this drive to try to hold yourself together and be strong and so on and so forth. And that's where you get phrases like the strong black woman and things like that. But again, turn the TV on and you'll see more black women judges and more black women in positions of authority. And that's all well, that's fine and well. It doesn't bother me in any way, shape, or form. But if you pay attention to it, you'll always notice not only are they in that position of authority, which is fine, but it's often the character that they're playing. They're portraying that character to be sassy. She's got to be sassy. She's got to have a little attitude, and she's got to shut the other person down quick. That's what I'm talking when I say, you know, there's a cultural divide. Is there anything wrong with being sassy? No, but I would argue, you know, in certain circumstances, maybe you want to leave the sass home if you're trying to get along with people, because everyone else, that's what everyone else does when we're trying to get along. You know, the things that go on in my home may not go on in your home, and that's where manners comes into play. That's where people are polite, and that's where people are professional. And it seems like often that sort of thing is thrown out the window. I mean, especially when you look at the culture as a whole, and you have situations like, let's say, violence, for instance. You know, it's nothing in that culture to solve your troubles by being violent. Whether it's a play fight or anything like that, you know, everything is a laugh and a joke, and everything's okay. It's fine to joke around. But remember, turn the news on. We have black Americans killing each other. So we have to stop sending this message out that this overabundance of aggression is okay. It isn't. It's absolutely not. Jay, do you have any comment when I say this? In your time of work, I'm sure you've been working whatever job it may be. Let's say you've worked the last 20, 30 years of your life, right? Would you say it's a fair statement that aggression and attitude and sass and things like that is more of a problem now than it has been later on, or earlier on?
Oh, without question. Absolutely without question. Everything seems to be, I'm not going to be respected unless I give attitude.
And I mean, right? And by the way, let me throw this in there. I mean sass from everyone. I'm not just black women. I mean sass.
No. I mean everyone. I'm talking about kids. Talking about the person behind the register at a store who maybe gave you the wrong change, something that simple, whatever it might be. You're getting it from all over. Our attitude in general, in other words, kids, it is not just the black community. It's everybody where you go to. It's just sarcasm. It's just a bad attitude overall that you're not going to be respected unless you give attitude. You got to show people who you are.
I agree. And by the way, that again, that's all fine and well when you're home or you're with your friends or you're wherever you hang out. But hell, when you go out in public or you're out at work, you may want to rein that shit in because these are the things that get you in trouble. Case in point, that earlier article that we were discussing, that sort of attitude, she basically ran her mouth a little too much. Does she have a right to be upset? Absolutely. She has a right to be upset. She has a right to be annoyed. She even has a right to be offended if she pleases. That's fine. But I just don't think that everyone has a right to go and display their bad attitude right then and there, wherever they see fit. It's a big problem. It doesn't make me. That's not the kind of person that I want to work with. And again, there are going to be people that listen to this and say, "Oh, you're a racist." Has nothing to do with race. Has absolutely nothing to do with race. There are people of all colors, all sizes, all shapes, and all backgrounds who are A1 assholes in one regard or the next.
How about kids crossing the street? I have two school zones near my house.
Uh-huh.
And I get.
Thanks for cutting me off, by the way.
But I know I had to throw that in there because I can imagine somebody in Twitter, somebody's going to say something about it. It's racist, racist, racist. It's black. It's hardly. Are you kidding me? You got a bunch of kids going to school, crossing, and we were kids when the light was red or whatnot, and the cars need to go. You picked up your pace and you got the hell out of the way. And the kids nowadays, and it certainly is not a black issue, I guarantee you that, and it's not even a gender issue, okay? It's just that's the way it is. Now, they walk across the street like, I dare you hit the gas. Fuck you, I'm in the middle of the street. I can do whatever I want. It wasn't that long ago nobody had that attitude. So
hold on, I got to cut you off now. Okay. I would argue young black people living in Florida, coming back to New York, now that I have a perspective of living somewhere else, I've traveled to many places, but I've only lived in these two states. I would have to say, there is something in the black community that goes on with that. Because I've noticed the driving.
There is. What I'm saying is, okay, it exists all over, okay? Certain communities have it worse. Now, for example, I've also been lucky enough to go to some black communities that are a bit more wealthy. And the changes in attitude are completely, it's just night and day. Hi, sir, how you doing, whatever. I understand what you're saying, but it is more prevalent.
Because the fact of the matter is that we have more of a class issue than we do a race issue. But let me give the listeners an example of what we're talking about as far as walking down the street, the school zones, and driving. Because we have listeners from all over, thankfully. So not everyone is in New York or Florida. Let's say, for example, you're in your car, you're driving down the road, you're approaching a stop sign or a stop light, and there's a pedestrian on the corner waiting to cross. Now, here in New York, you have a lot of jaywalking. No one even calls it jaywalking. It's just what you do. You look down the block. If you don't see a car, you cross the street, whether you have the light or not. What I've seen often from black people mainly, black people mainly, and then we have like a younger urban population who's just everyone, every color, just part of the urban culture. Who cares? There's a thing that goes on where, there's a car here and the car has a green and I'm not supposed to be crossing, but I'm in the intersection anyway. Oh, yeah, well, I'm just going to take my time and saunter across the street because, they have to stop for me. And you can see people just slow themselves down and saunter across the street right in front of your car, which is absolutely ridiculous if you think about it. I don't know what the mindset is here. Because if in your head you're saying to yourself, yeah, well, that person has to stop for me, yeah, go ahead and put your body against a 2-ton car and wait till you get someone who's nuts behind the wheel is going to mow you down because you don't get the hell across the street. Not that that's right, that anyone should be run over for that, but get the hell across the street, people. What's the problem? So is that what you're talking about, Jay? Do you have those same issues when you're talking about your school zones?
Yeah, we do. I mean, it's like I was trying to be fair up front and then and smack you with the rest of the reality. The fairness is I get it from everybody in the schools, or it's just the kids, okay? Then you go to the next one. Okay, so who do I see that? What group demonstrates that attitude the most? Unfortunately, it's the Black community.
Oh, I'm being fair. I'm being fair. I'm saying all else being equal, when you're dealing with school kids, that's one thing. When you're dealing with adults, it's a completely different thing. And all else being
attitude,
equal,
So that attitude is in the young, you know, in the Black community very early on, okay, that define a walk across, I'll stand in the middle of the street, you need to move kind of thing. And then it just carries to it again. I think the socioeconomics has a lot to do with it too, but it carries that right up through adulthood. And then, and then we got the Ms. Bland thing, which I guarantee, I'd be willing to bet that she would be one of those people that would do that sauntering horse shit across the intersection because you will stop your car.
Yeah, and it's I can tell you what, it's not fun to work with. It's absolutely not
fun. It's horrible to work with.
I know you want to shed some light on that, so we're not going to mention your company, but go ahead and, if you can, briefly, because we're going to let the listeners go here, share a little something along those lines of your perspective and how you could possibly be uncomfortable working with 2 tons of attitude.
The presumption that anybody that's not like me comes to me, you're going to get that attitude. So if I walk into an office because I'm supposed to monitor certain employees in different offices, that's what I do. I go around, and it's what are you doing today kind of a thing. That's all. It's just a very bare minimum assessment. And when I work with the guys, Black guys, it's such an exceptionally high percentage of the time, it's just they don't give a shit that you're there. They turn and go, oh, you're here with me? Okay, and then they go on about their business. And the attitude I get from the Black women, it's kind of like I must have done something to them wrong to them in a previous life. I don't know. Now, if I was just a white guy and I got the attitude because maybe she had a bad experience, it would be one thing. But some of my members on my team happen to be Black males, and they get the exact same attitude that I get. And they'll tell me because they're friends of mine, I've known them for a lot of years, and that's where I get that information. It's like, oh, Dave, I just Dave and John and who else? It was like about 7 or 8 people there. They'll say, well, Emerson, or hey, Dave, or hey, Bob, this, you know, come around. I got something to share with you, and here's the attitude. And this is a Black guy telling us about the attitude he had all day. And well, I got this. I got this. Not with the Black men, only with the Black women. He says, you have to understand, in my community, that's what we get all the time. Like, okay, you know, so it's an unfortunate attitude, and it does not help the Black community. And there's also quite a large number within the Black community that are not like that, and they get disgusted by that behavior because they realize that they're having to deal with the repercussions from that behavior. They look at
that's
you like,
right.
I'm not doing that, but I have to have that stereotype thrown upon me.
Yeah, numbers make a difference, and you're making everyone look bad. These are things that were told to me when I was a kid growing up. You know, my parents would say to me, hey, you represent this family, you represent this household, and you're not going to go outside and do anything other and act in any way different than how we've raised you to be, which is polite. People, you do what you can, but you certainly don't want to do anything that makes us look bad. And that's just my experience. I know that's not going to be everyone's experience, but this is why I'm railing on this nonsense, because when I wake up every day and I'm reading the news and there's racism, 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 I'm calling bullshit. I'm calling culture. I'm asking people to change their ways. Please try to get along with people. That means being professional. That means being polite. That means not everyone you encounter, regardless of their color, even if it's another Black person, regardless of their color, not everyone you encounter grew up in your home, grew up in your neighborhood, grew up with your same life experience. So let's please be polite. That would go further than anything else to repair our society, and furthermore, repair race relations, because people are crying racism. I don't know anyone in my life who's a racist. I know a lot of people who feel like they're being attacked and who are rubbed the wrong way because of severe cultural differences. And Jay, I think you'd agree with that.
I couldn't disagree one bit.
All right. Now, we're going to leave it there. Shut your trap. Don't say any more because you've taken more time from my show than anyone else. But I appreciate it. You had a lot of good stuff to say. So thanks for coming on again. Before we go, I want to let people know Pocket Dump. Not people in general. More specifically, I have a lot of military and law enforcement who listens to my show. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for your service and thank you for all that you do. You guys are gearheads. More often than not, any vet, any cop, big time gearhead. Check out Pocket Dump. It's on the Rogue Intel Network. When you're done listening to this, go check that out. Hosted by Matt Rollins. What Matt does is he interviews people about what they carry with them when they're out in their daily routine, whether it's some cool gadget, some cool pocket knife, firearm, so on and so forth. It's a great podcast. I've listened to it. I like it a hell of a lot. He's very talented. I'd certainly say a hell of a lot more talented than I am, and I'm woman enough to concede that point. Episode number 6 was his last episode, and that featured Chris, who's one of our hosts of Rogue Intel Prime. He's a funny dude. He asked a few questions. He did, I'd like to call it almost an interview of the interviewer. It was pretty cool. There's product reviews, advice, and info about what to carry with you when you leave the house. So check it out, Pocket Dump on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network. And hey, people, what's in your pocket? With that, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you, Jay Paul, for coming back again. I'm sure we'll have you again in the future. Just a reminder, when you're done listening, leave a review. Questions, comments, concerns, check me out on Twitter or Facebook at VLonamori. On behalf of everyone at Rogue Intel, this has been Candid.